Hi, everyone. The Business Ethics Leadership Alliance has questions, and we have answers. I'm your host, Bill Coffin, and this is another Bella Asks episode of the Ethicast. One of the best benefits of being a member of the Business Ethics Leadership Alliance, or Bella, is that if you have any questions at all about ethics and compliance, you can submit them to Bella's concierge service, which will connect you with one of our internal experts who will provide an answer and or direct you to a helpful resource for more information. Sometimes these requests are specific to a particular company's needs, but most of them speak to the broad challenges facing Bella members in general, and by extension, the wider ethics and compliance profession. That's why we're using this show to thematically respond to high-level questions from the Bella community. Joining us once again to answer those questions is Bella Chair Erica Salmon Byrne. Erica, once again, thank you so much for joining us. It's great to hear from you.
Oh, Bill, thank you so much for having me back. And thank you to the Bella community members who keep asking questions so that I keep having a reason to do these.
Well, this next question is a speak-up question, and it reads, how do I craft a good non-retaliation policy? This is such a good question. I'm dying to hear what you have to say about it.
This is such a good question, Bill. So I'm gonna start with a couple of cross-references first to additional materials that you can take in after you've had a chance to listen to this particular Ethicast. So of course, Bill, earlier in the year, you and I did the three-part series on investigations, and we talked a little bit about retaliation and non-retaliation policies and retaliation prevention in that context. So if you haven't had a chance to take those in, I definitely recommend going and taking in that particular series. And then we also just wrapped our three-part culture masterclass series, which also got into how employees feel about retaliation. And so those are a couple of great resources for you to consider if you want to dive a little deeper on this particular topic. But the policy in particular. So I'm going to focus on two pieces here. The first is the policy, and the second is the distribution of the policy. So first, let's talk about what a good policy is. Good policy is going to be exactly what you want to think about for any other policy topic. Can my employees read it? Are they going to understand what it says when they find the policy? What reading level do I need to write at to make sure that that's the case? Who's my audience? So really digging in and saying, who am I writing for, right? Am I writing for the average employee so that they understand the company's position? Am I writing for a manager so that they understand what to do and what not to do in the event of an issue in their particular part of the business? Who's my audience? So that's one of the first things to ask. Once you've kind of gotten an understanding of that, the second question is, okay, how am I going to make sure that this policy is something my employees can actually use? Because you can write a beautiful policy, and if you post it and nobody reads it, did it actually happen, right? It's like the compliance version of the tree falling in the forest is you write this policy, you post this policy, and nobody, you know, has any idea this policy exists. So then what are you going to do with the policy? So because this is the place where so many compliance teams end up running into trouble. The stuff that's within the four corners of their job responsibilities, they do a great job with it. But then when it starts to become a place where I have to interact with other control functions and think about the rest of the organization, then I start to struggle much, much more because I don't have a real good sense of how something's going to be used. So think about the types of retaliation allegations that you've had come up inside your organization. And if the answer is none, I encourage you to look again. Because chances are somewhere in your organization, there is somebody who thinks they've been retaliated against for raising their hand. Yeah. Because often what employees say they experience as retaliation is not what we as lawyers have been trained to think of as retaliation. So it's not illegal behavior. It's not tangible employment action. It's ostracism. It's feeling like people are looking at you weird, right? It's those kinds of things are what employees self-report they have experienced in terms of what retaliation looks like. So think about what you're trying to prevent with the policy and then also with the communication of the policy. And I strongly encourage you to look at how you're training your managers, both at the moment they become managers and then also at the moment of an investigation when they actually have the opportunity to prevent or participate in retaliation in the first place. Because you can train me back in January when I become a manager. And if it's 18 or 20 months before I have a chance to practice those skills, I don't have them anymore, they've left my head. Everything you said to me is gone at that point. Yeah. So what does a leave behind look like for a manager? What are like, can you do, you know, top five things to remember, or three things to do, or two things not to do, right? Those are the kinds of tangible tools that you can give to a manager that are going to underpin a strong non-retaliation policy, and more importantly, a culture where people feel comfortable raising their hand.
You know, the sad truth is that training-based skills age more like milk or bread than they do like wine. So it, yes. So that need to refresh so that is such an important thing. So
yeah.
Either on the Bella Member Hub or out there in the wide, wide world, is there an example too of what you feel to be a really good non-retaliation policy that you would go, you know what, this is a good example for people to look at if they're trying to start from scratch and they don't know where to begin?
Yeah. Yeah. There are a couple of good examples on the Bella Member Hub. And then the other thing I would encourage you to look at is the definition of retaliation in the EU Whistleblower Directive. Regardless of whether you are actually subject to the EU Whistleblower Directive or not, the definition of retaliation in the directive is much more aligned with what employees self-report as retaliation than anything that you're going to see here in the States. So yeah, there are a couple of great examples in the Member Hub, but then also take a look at the definition in the Whistleblower Directive, because it'll give you a good sense of, you know, what it is that you're trying to really combat.
Well, Erica, I learned something every time I speak with you. So once again, thank you so much for coming on the show. And thank you so much for lending your insights on behalf of the Bella community. I know they really, really appreciate it.
Oh, Bill, it's really my pleasure. And, you know, to all the Bella members out there, just keep the questions coming, okay? And Bill and I will have a chance to come back and answer them.
To learn more about Bella, please visit bella.ethisphere.com to request guest access to the Bella Member Resource Hub and to speak with the Bella Engagement Director. And if you have a question that you'd like answered on Bella Asks, please be sure to use the Bella Concierge service, and we'll get to your question just as soon as we can. I'm Bill Coffin, and this has been another special Bella Asks episode of the Ethicast. For more episodes, please visit the Ethisphere YouTube channel at youtube.com/ethisphere. And if this is your first time enjoying the show, please make sure to like and subscribe on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, or Spotify. Thanks so much for joining us. And until next time, remember, strong ethics is good business.